Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Fort Meade Declassified. We're your hosts, Monique McFadden, and I'm Chad Jones. And in today's episode, we are here with our soon-to-be new garrison commander for Fort George G. Meade, Colonel Yolanda Gore. Ma'am, how are you?
I am great. Hello, Chad and Monique. And I want to say it is a pleasure to be here with you today.
Outstanding. So you have spent basically the last 3 weeks doing two jobs.
Two, yes.
So what is your current job? It sounds important, but I don't know. I mean, so what's the job that you are getting ready to leave?
So currently, my position is the Strategic Initiative Chief for the Deputy Chief of Staff of G1, Lieutenant General Stitt. And in that job, I am in charge of an array of things. And one of them is actually public affairs, something I know you're very familiar with. Yes. So I deal a lot with public affairs. I deal a lot with the OCLL. I do publications. I do a lot of Medal of Honor ceremonies. I work with the White House. I do a lot of high-profile media queries that come in for the Sec Army office. We do Douglas MacArthur ceremonies, and I do a lot of other distinguished military honor ceremonies that some of them that I can name, some others I probably can't name at this time, but a job that I learned a very lot from and enjoy my time.
What's a MacArthur ceremony?
It's the General Douglas MacArthur ceremony that we do every year, and it's for deserving junior officers, captains, warrant officers who have displayed potential and qualities that General Douglas MacArthur did and those qualities that make them a great leader. So they're selected all across the Army. These are great officers that are chosen from amongst a big pool, and we host this ceremony within the G1 every year.
Interesting. So we don't talk a lot about General MacArthur here. We talk a lot more about Eisenhower and Patton and how they used to hang out around Fort Meade.
I have heard that very interesting speech on how this post was once a armor post and now the premier platform for cyber and intel. So I'm definitely familiar with the history.
Ma'am, if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself outside the military, who you are, you know, what you like, or some of your hobbies, some of the things that others can relate to when they see you.
And sure. Monique, no problem. I am dual military. I've been in the military for 21 years. My husband is a signal officer. We have two kids, one 29 and one 19. One is a graduate of East Carolina University, and the other one is Virginia Tech. So go Hokies, any Hokies out there. We are a family that loves to spend time together, love family time. Actually, family night is every Friday night.
Really? What are you doing? What's a typical family night look
That's
like?
That's competitive night. That's game night.
Oh, wow.
That's dinner. That could even range from a relay to Uno to Scrabble to Heads Up, but that's pretty much competitive night. Or it can even range from a movie or just some Netflix and chill, but that is our family time. And typically, I have to win. You know, if I don't win.
All right. So winning is, the Heads Up is kind of goofy.
Heads Up. So in my spare time, typically, I like to clean.
No, you don't.
I do.
What do you mean you like to clean?
I love to clean. I am a neat freak. I love to clean. I love cars.
Yeah, I heard that. You said you like fast. You didn't just say you like cars. You said you like fast cars.
I like fast cars.
So do you like the wind-up Hondas, Fast and Furious? You Tokyo Drift or just regular Fast and Furious muscle car?
Fast, Furious, muscle cars, any car. You know, there's several things that interest me in cars. Torque, you know, speed, things like that.
My husband
is not really a car person, so I'm trying to get him into that. Because, you know, it would be really, really nice if we can retire and work on cars, but I'm trying to get him there. I remember growing up, and I'm not sure my passion for cars came from not having a car, because my mom didn't get a car until I think I was probably 16 or 17. She probably got a car right before I got my license. And I remember wanting a Mitsubishi 3000 GT, and I wanted it candy apple red.
Uh-huh. Did you get one yet?
I didn't get it. They weren't making them when I could afford them. They stopped making them. I wanted that 3000 GT. Fast car back then, you know, when I was like 12 or 13. But I think my passion came from just not having something you wanted so bad. And my dad was a mechanic. So it's probably just ingrained in me. It's in my blood. He could fix any car. He could tell by the sound of it. He could tell by the look of it. He could tell by how it cranked up. And just recently, I was driving down the road with my daughter, and the light were flickering on this older car. And I was like, oh, the alternator about to go in that car. She was like, how you know? I was like, I know. It's not going to last long. That car, that's the alternator, right. You know, just from working.
So when the kids have car problems, they come, they see
they
you.
They come to me. They come to me. Mom, what's wrong with the car? So that's pretty much, in a nutshell, what I do and what I like.
Now, where is, somebody asked where you're from.
So I'm born and raised in South Carolina.
Okay, nobody's perfect.
Yeah, unfortunately, South Carolina is where I was born and raised. You know, recently they just passed, you know, tax-free for military. That's fourth on my list. I may go back home. I may not. Florida and Texas has always been number one, but South Carolina is looking really good right now.
So you are the second commander out of our last four that claims South Carolina as home. Colonel Spragg, you're up in MCOM. You'll be dealing a lot with him. He also claims South Carolina. So are you Clemson or are you South Carolina?
So definitely Gamecock.
Okay.
Because short story, my first year of college, I went to USC.
Okay.
And I went to USC for a scholarship. They would not give me a scholarship. So I transferred to South Carolina State because it was more affordable. So near and dear, I'm a Gamecock because that was my dream school. But unfortunately, I did not graduate from there. I graduated from South Carolina State University. But I am a true Bulldog. Okay. But definitely a Gamecock and not a Tiger.
And did you go through ROTC at South Carolina State? And so, okay.
So I got commissioned at South Carolina State in 2002.
Oh, wow. Gosh. All right. So you're still, I mean, you have 22 years.
Yep, 22 years.
You got a little bit of a handle on
just a this little
Army
bit.
Thing.
Just a little bit.
And you are, so we were talking and you mentioned at one point that you were field artillery for literally a minute.
Maybe 2 or 3 weeks. So crazy story. After I got commissioned in 2002 as field artillery, shortly thereafter, they took all the women out of field artillery. And I was actually heading to OBC, and I got a call from the school and said, hey, you have to go to your control branch. And I'm like, what is that? It was like, you're going to have to go to that second branch that we told you you're going to go to once you complete field artillery, which was signal. So I turned that car around as fast as I could and headed to Fort Gordon from Oklahoma. And I did my OBC, I believe what's now is Eisenhower, was Fort Gordon back then. But quickly realized that computers was not my thing.
Right.
So I did what was called a VTIP, Voluntarily Transfer Incentive Program. And I transferred to AG. So in the first 3 years of my career, I had 3 MOSs. And since then, I've been the happiest officer of my life. I'm in the field now where I love people. Wow. Computers, printers did not get along. And I realized that my peers had a personal knack for that, and I had to practice and I had to struggle a little harder. So I was like, I couldn't do this the rest of my life. But as soon as I transferred to HR, I realized this is where I needed to be.
So you will find out as you talk to more of your garrison employees, computers and whatnot, are they don't agree with us either. So have you already at all, you said, so you were driving around, you've seen a lot of things. This isn't your first time taking over a new position.
Obviously.
I mean, the military, they move you around. How many approximately duty stations have you been to?
At least 10.
Okay. And you've taken over some kind of leadership in there. So how do you approach taking command of this job and taking this job? I mean, are you a sit back and wait for a couple weeks to see how things are done? Are you get in and tinker a little bit? I mean, how do you normally approach a new job?
So it really depends on the type of job, but in any job, I always sit back and watch first. Because it's never good to go in any situation and just make changes. I'm a people person. I'm a people watcher. And I let people make decisions. Half of the people that are going to be working for me are senior to me. I respect that. I respect their space. And that's all I demand back. And I don't come into an organization with the attitude that I'm in charge. I always come in as we're a team. So I come in with the idea of how can I fit into this team? And I can't do that if I'm changing things off the back or immediately. So I come in with a team perspective because we are a team.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, I'm just the one that got to be put on the blame line when it's all said and done, right? I'm the one that's going to be on the blame line. But I want to come in and I want to work together as a team. I know someone has to make the decision. That ultimately has to be me. But when it's all said and done, when we go home, I want everybody to go home with the idea that we are one team. Not that you have a boss and I say you do, but we are a team. So that's how I approach. How do I fit into your organization?
So you mentioned, well, two things, full disclosure, ma'am, that you have said in our, we've had a few interactions. They've all been great. But two things you said that scared me a little bit.
Oh.
First one was, and I explained it to the staff.
PAL.
Yeah, that was the first one. We discussed that one. But I think, you know, as I hear more from your experience, that's excellent. But the second one I heard that I never like, and maybe I misheard it, that you mentioned that you love social media.
So to clarify that, and I think I can clarify this with both of them. Social media can be your enemy or it can be your friend.
Yes.
I've always used it as my friend.
Hmm.
Because we're in a social media era.
Yes.
Okay, whether we like it or not.
Right.
And what I have learned is if you don't get ahead of the message and the message get ahead of you, that is trouble. So I love to be transparent. So when I say social media, all I'm talking about is transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Put the message out. Be transparent. Let the community know. Let the people know. Let the soldiers know. Let the installation know what's going on.
So have you been following the traffic about the gate changes?
I have been. And boy, have I been reading the comments. Now, would I have done it different? Who knows? But, you know, like I said, I've worked at the highest level of PAO. Yeah. I've worked, you know, I've done things for the Sec Army. I've done things for the ASA, MNRA. I've done things for ASLs in the Pentagon, and they've got burned. So I know what shoulda, coulda happened, but could have done better. So I've had a lot of experience in that area. Things, you know, ways that we could handle things to make things better. But again, you can't please everybody. There are always going to be folks that are not going to be happy. I totally understand that. But we have so many ways of getting in front of things. Once you're behind it, there's no way of recovering.
Right.
And that's why I say, use it. Mm-hmm. Use it the right way. And it will prevent a whole lot of your issues. And that's what I mean about loving it. Now, I don't love it because I want to be on there, because I'm very camera shy. I don't like to be on the face of everything. But if I have to be there, I'll be there. I'm more behind the scenes. I want to get the credits. I just want to see everybody do great. I want to help. I'm the background gal or guy, so to speak.
See, in our world, we call you the closer.
The closer, yeah. I'm the closer.
We get it close, and then, all right, it's time to bring out Colonel Gore to get us to where.
But this is where people are operating. This is the world we live in. Everybody thinks you're hiding something. If you don't post it, you don't say anything. So your job, Chad, your job, Monique, and your team is very important to everything we do and to what everybody do.
Yes.
Communications is so important. Strategic communications is so important.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then that is one thing we struggle with. And one thing I do like about social media is that we can at least adjust fire. I mean, once you get enough of a message, mm-hmm. that you can at least see where we, you can always change a message, but you're right. Yeah, you got to at least, it's always better to say something first.
To say something first.
And then come
and
out.
Yeah. And the message is not always going to be perfect, and you're not always going to please everybody, but they know something is going on. They know Fort Meade is informing you of something. Something is happening. It may not be everything at that time, because we don't have that information, or we may not be able to release it at that time, but they know something is going on.
And there is something, it seems like, always going on.
Always going on. I'm following you guys, and I'm like, man, these guys are busy.
We try to be.
Push the button. Push them. Like, who's pushing this button? Who's over there pushing these graphics? Who's making these graphics? Who's doing this? So I do applaud everything you do. I've been watching.
So before we get out of here, ma'am, have you had a guide on before?
No, this is my first guide on.
What the? Nice.
So as an AG officer, I opted for all my CSLs to be staff, because we can do staff or we can do commands.
Okay.
So I know I was getting closer to retirement, so I wanted to diversify my portfolio. So I was like, this last job, I'm going to do something different. Okay. This last command potentially needs to be different. And I wanted to work more with families.
Okay.
I wanted to work more with communities. I wanted to learn something different. So I want my resume to be different than just human resource.
For sure.
So the track that I chose for my CSL, I chose Garrison Command. And this is here where it led me. I didn't chose anything that had a one in it. If it was G1, I ran. I didn't choose it. I was like, no, I'm not doing anything G1 anymore. S1, G1, I think I'm trained there. I need to do something different before I transition to this next life. And Garrison was where I wanted to go. So that's what got me here.
And you just happened to come to the best garrison.
The best garrison.
In the history of garrisons.
And I truly believe that. Truly believe it.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Fort Meade Declassified. We hope you enjoyed our conversation and learned more about Colonel Gore and her priorities for Fort Meade as the incoming garrison commander. Remember to stay connected with Fort Meade on social media and the My Army Post app for the latest installation updates. We'll catch you next time on Fort Meade Declassified.